Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And it's another happy-go-lucky Monday. Hopefully you don't have a case of the Mondays today. That would make me sad because we're here with you to make it better.
Well, some people should at least have it off.
Yeah, some people should have it off. So I'm if you off. Have it off.
Huh?
I'm off.
Well, yes.
So am I.
And the surprise is ruined. No, it's okay. I'm just teasing. Yes.
Okay, so there are no spoilers if it's in the header.
Yeah, it's true. You didn't read the title of the episode. You might be surprised to hear a third voice with us this week. And that's because, once again, coming back far too late, it's been far too long.
Yeah.
We have Jake's Palace back with us, and I am super stoked about this. We have so much to get caught up on, man. I mean, there's a ton of stuff.
And the entire season. We have.
Yes, I know.
Exactly.
Only like the entire haunt season. Yeah. What's the big deal?
The haunt season, the recovery period afterwards.
Oh, man. But yes. So how was your haunt season, Japes? How did it go?
It was a weird experience this year, not having a home and just kind of doing some freelance work. I spent a lot of time at Midnight Terror, and I also, got to check out Hell's Gate, work there, and just kind of got to float around. And in the end, I went to 9 or 10 haunts this year, which, I haven't done that since before I started haunting, probably.
Yeah. And that's one of the things we always talk about is, like, when we're talking about whether we really want to go pro with this or not, it's always, well, if we do, we can't go to all the haunts because we try to get to a dozen every year. We can't go to the haunts, and that makes us super sad. And so, yeah, I know the feeling. I know what you mean.
Yeah, no, you don't get to do that if you're working the haunts. So,
yeah.
It was really nice to see, obviously I know everybody that runs the different haunts and works for the different haunts, but I never get to see their shows. So it was really nice to get out there and see my friends and see their shows. So I had a great time with that.
Now, I think when we last left you, Hell's Gate had its opening weekend.
Correct.
And it was a weekend.
It was a tough weekend for them, yes.
Yeah.
How did things recover or improve, or what happened after? What was the aftermath of that? Just to recap, they had a Groupon that had a lot of interest, and there were backups and issues with trying to get all those people in, and that led to a flame thing on Facebook for a time.
Right.
And some other things. So I'm really hoping it sounded like they were on the path to making a recovery. Was it successful?
I mean, as far as I could see, yes. I actually was there. I acted there that the weekend after their opening weekend. I went and guest acted out there. I got to hang out with some great haunters. Katie Lane was in from, I think she's from Ohio. I always forget if she's from Ohio or Pennsylvania. But Katie Lane and met her friend Chelsea. They were really talented, fun people to be around.
Cool.
And again, get to see some old friends that work for Hell's Gate. They definitely, still had some improvements to make, around the issues with transportation. You know, getting those buses up and down that road. It's oh man, the difference in the road from that first time that I went up there to the second time I went up there, it's already, those buses are destroying the road.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should take video or something. And that way you can record the degradation of the road over time.
Not a road meant for buses.
Right.
No, not really. But things ran pretty smoothly. They were also dealing with, one of the issues with having a big show like that and then having those overwhelming audiences. And I experienced it my first year with Rob Zombie's Great American Nightmare. We got so beat up that first week, that first weekend, that a lot of our actors didn't come back. And I think I think that Hell's Gate had some of those issues as well, where people were, you know, they were young. They had a lot of green people there that have never worked in haunted houses. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, it's actual work to work in a haunted house. And so, you know, so they lost some people because of that. And so they were dealing with that. But, you know, again, they've got an incredibly talented team up there. And so they did a great job of adjusting and trying to bring those new people up to speed.
Yeah, and as haunters, we often describe what we do in the context of battle. I find that we use a lot of battle analogies.
Yeah,
I find that this is also kind of an issue of morale too. If people aren't prepared for it, or if the first weekend goes rough, it has an impact on morale that you have to correct as well. So those are very difficult things to shift and to pivot on. So yeah, kudos that they were able to do it.
I mean, again, you know, I was there the weekend that they were kind of recovering from that opening weekend. And I know in talking to people who worked there and stuff, you know, they acknowledged what issues they were having. They're pros. They know what's wrong, and no haunt runs perfect all the time. And they
recognize. Oh, really? No. Ours does. Ours totally does. What do you mean?
So they recognized where they needed to improve, and they made the improvements. And you know, that's what it's all about, is adjusting to that, and being able to like you said, pivot and adjust when you need to. And I think they did a great job. I think they did a really great job. It's a beautiful, beautiful haunt. It's totally it's a haunter's dream. I mean, it really is.
And I'll say this, from my perspective, as someone that was following what was going on throughout the season, I didn't hear another peep about Hell's Gate after that first weekend. Right. And I take that as a very good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's the one thing I've learned.
It was just business as usual after that.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. That sounds good. So where'd you check out? What did you do?
I made it everywhere, man. It was great.
Some Johnny Cash playing in the background, been everywhere. Don't make me cue it up.
Hey, I think that we need some music. I was able to make it to a lot of the big haunts in the area, places again that I haven't been in years. You know, some places that I have been recently. And where did I go? I mean, what did I saw? A lot. Go on hauntedillinois.com and look at what they've got. And I went to basically everything in the Chicago area.
Well, anything really stand out?
Right. Any favorites?
You know,
maybe not favorites, but you know,
anything. You know,
I can honestly say they're favorites. So Statesville Haunted House has a tradition here. That's the same. It's the Zombie Army team, the people that run Hell's Gate as well. The last time I was there, it was probably about 4 years ago, and Zombie Army was picking up speed. It was, you know, they were kind of gaining some momentum as a team, but essentially they were just, you know, they're running a very big haunted house.
Right.
But I hadn't been through it in a long time. I went through it this year, and it is like just stunning from every element. They hit every element from their line acting is phenomenal. The house design and house layout is amazing. The lighting is amazing. You feel like you're in a prison. You know, you feel like you're in a prison. You feel like when you go into City of the Dead, their second attraction, you know, you feel like you're underground, and it's got that coolness. And it's there is nothing else in the Chicagoland area like Statesville. I was absolutely blown away by how far they've come. So I loved Statesville very, very much. It was great, great show. Very, very good show. Some of the strongest acting I saw was there as well.
Yeah.
And then my number two is Realm of Terror. Realm of Terror is up in Grays Lake, which is about an hour north of the city, and they run a very, very unique show in that it's all about chaos. It's all about disorienting you, and it's not. When I came out and I wanted to talk to the owner, you know, and tell him about, you know, my experience, I was like, you know, I was in this one room and this thing happened, but I couldn't name the room because it's not like a typical haunt where it's, okay, you've got the, you know, the prison cell here.
Then you're in the boiler room and then you're...
Exactly. It doesn't have any of that. It's a lot of randomness and they have you kind of ducking down and moving around corners. And the way that it's laid out, you're always off balance. I got scared multiple times in Realm of Terror. And I cannot say that about any other haunted house. They use those angles and that disorientation and that chaos, and the actors are out of their minds, completely nuts. They get that from the owner, who is literally one of the craziest people I know, a genius, total genius, wonderful, right. Wonderful person, but crazy as hell. And he leads by example, and they have no qualms with, basically they have this policy that if you invite it, they're going to do it. So I got a dentist's mirror hooked in my mouth real hard, because I made the foolish idea of opening my mouth when he put it in front of me. So he wasn't going to back down. He jammed it right in my mouth. So, you know, again, some of the best, most bizarre line actors you could possibly imagine at Realm of Terror. So their show is a great show and very, very unique. I know I didn't listen to the recent episode about keeping secrets. How do you keep secrets and stuff? Right. Go ahead and go to Realm of Terror, and I challenge you to try and duplicate what they do. You won't be able to do it. So, really unique show. Really unique show.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of how we played with the actors at Poplarville. Not quite as intense as what you're describing there, but it was still a very, if you did something, the actors would respond accordingly. Mm-hmm. And it was a soft touch haunt. So,
yeah, and it also reminds me of the, a bit from what he described of the Asylum too.
Right. That was
at Rise. And because that one, I had the moment there where they're pretending like you're an inmate going through intake at one point, and they hand you one of those little Dixie cups with a pill in it. And I just reflexively kick it back.
Yeah. I remember you mentioning that.
It's like 2 seconds later, it's like, oh, the hell did I just do?
Yeah, and I've been guilty of doing that a bunch of times. I know I've drank stuff out of bottles, and they're like, ooh, no, you shouldn't have done that.
Well, don't give it to me, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but then my number three is Midnight Terror. And, you know, I had a hard time putting that as my number three because I have been working with them. But I think that's part of the reason that I put them there is because I see what's going on there. And these guys have, like, they've been professionally haunting. I think this is their third year, but it's their first year in this new location. And it's a massive, massive location. They've moved to a much bigger location. And they don't sleep. They don't sleep. Like, no joke. One of the owners, Justin, I guarantee if I was to hit him up on Facebook right now, he would say he's at the haunt building stuff right now.
Right.
You know, most people take that time off after October. Now, November 1st, well, actually, they were open November 1st. But they,
November, I mean, November 2nd.
He's always there, and they're doing all sorts of special events. I know you, we'll come up with it in a minute, but, I know you mentioned in your conference reminders, Windy City Haunters. Yes.
It is kind of a tongue twister, isn't it? Surprisingly so. It doesn't look like it should be.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was until I just said it.
Yeah.
Haunters. Windy City. If you want to, say it Windy, but
yeah,
that's how it wants to come out, but you can't.
But yeah, so they're doing that. They've got laser tag going in there. They've got like all this stuff. Plus, They came up with a really cool idea that I've never heard of before, where they're selling a season pass. So all of their off-season events, they're going to do Valentine's, they're going to do St. Patrick's Day, and a couple others. I can't remember exactly what they all are. You can buy one ticket and get into all those events all year.
I saw that you had posted that, and I thought it was a very interesting idea too, because that keeps the haunt fresh in customers' minds all year round.
Yeah. And yeah. The other thought I had, though, is it's not really a season pass. It's more of an anti-season pass, because right. It doesn't actually include the haunt season. Mm-hmm. It was like, I get why they call it a season pass, but the same breath, it sounds weird.
Yeah, right, because you're right. It's not there. It's not October at all.
Yeah. It's awesome. You say season pass to me, I'm thinking, ooh, I can go all through October, but no, it's the exact opposite.
Right.
I can go the other 11 months.
Yes, it's not like, you know, 13th Gate used to have a season pass where if you bought it, you could go as many times as you wanted during October.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually pretty cool. And we should have done it a couple of years. We would have saved some damn money.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mistakes were made in 2008. I'm just saying.
We were younger then.
I mean, they're doing a lot of cool stuff outside of just the regular haunt. Their haunt itself is a really, really nice haunt. And, you know, they got it up in a really short time, but a relatively short time. But again, they're building right now. They're constantly working on it. They're constantly improving. They're constantly trying to make it a better show. And you know, they've brought in a lot of really good talent from a lot of different places. I had a bunch of friends who had a really bad experience at another haunt in the Chicagoland area. Who will go nameless, but we all know who they are. But a bunch of my old crew had a really bad experience there. And when they came out to Midnight Terror to guest act, you know, Justin was so cool. He played, you know, he played our pump up song at the beginning of the night, you know, the Rob Zombie pump up song that we always used to listen to. And just like all the actors really literally were patting, you know, patting these actors on the back, like bringing them into the family. And so I think they're creating an amazing culture over there. And I think that we're going to see really, really good things out of Midnight Terror for the next couple years. So.
Cool. So real quick, on their events throughout the year, are they different themes? Are they different things altogether?
Yeah, so it's different themes. So, you know, I believe the season pass includes their laser tag, because they're doing laser tag and I think escape room as well. I know they're doing escape room. I think
everybody's doing escape room.
That's the trend.
That's it. That's it. You got to make something make some money in the off season. And that's popular now. So, so they're doing that stuff. They're actually putting in a bar and an arcade. So they've got all that stuff going on. And then they're like haunt shows are like, they are different themed. There's Valentine's and, St. Patrick's Day, and then they're doing something in June, I think. That's more of just like a interactive haunt experience.
Cool.
But they know more what they're doing. I can't keep up with it all. They're moving fast.
So was the dentist from Realm of Terror one of the most memorable scares you saw?
That was definitely one of the most memorable moments. You know, the thing that sucks about me is it all sort of blends together.
You know?
That's one of the reasons.
I wish I kept it like a, you know, you guys have your video blog.
Yeah.
You've got that to keep track of your thoughts, and you can go back and go, oh yeah, that one thing happened. Right. I don't do that. I always think, oh, I'm going to remember it.
No, yeah.
I never do. So, you know, like I said, Realm of Terror, they scared me multiple times, and it was because the actors really understood their space and they knew how to, you know, where the actor or where the customers were going to be looking, and they made sure that they were right there. So it was generally cheap pops, cheap scares. You know, the one thing I can say that I'm disappointed about in all the haunts that I went to is that I feel like back in the day, there I go, I'm being the old man. Back in the day, Chicago was very known for interactive haunts. Dream Reapers was a very interactive haunt. There was very little Gur-Arg in in Dream Reapers. It was a lot of interaction and talking, and you know, there was a lot of insulting. We used a lot of that, but it was also just a lot of playing with the customers and kind of bringing them into the scenes by talking with them as our characters. And I feel like a lot of places have lost that. And I recognize certainly, you know, when you're doing 4,000 people a night, there's no time. There's no time to interact like that.
Yeah.
But I would like to see more of that. And Realm of Terror does a great job of that in their line entertainment, for sure. Midnight Terror is still working with it on their line entertainment. Statesville is pretty good, but I felt like when I was at Statesville, the line actors were interacting more with each other than they were with the customers. You know, and they were doing a good job and they were entertaining people, but it was kind of like watching like a little sideshow as opposed to being a part of it, you know? But across the board, it didn't matter where I went. The interactive acting piece is not as prominent as it used to be,
which is interesting, because here we're seeing a rise of smaller haunts.
Right.
Like a rise, literally the haunt Rise.
Yeah.
Had a second smaller attraction called the Asylum, which is designed to be their interactive haunt. The main one is the Gur Arc Boo drop panel, you know, that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the Asylum is actually a very interesting, we talked with the owner about how he organized it and built it, and it's very clever how he did it. You can still get 1,000 people through a night in it, but it's built to be very, very interactive. And we're seeing that. We're also seeing like Poplarville. We're seeing like other haunts locally that are just
these kind of little boutique haunts. Yeah, we call them artisanal
haunts, I think, in one episode.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing them pop up here, and it's very, very interesting, because for the longest time, our region was so dominated by the handful of really big players.
Mm-hmm.
We have like House of Shock, 13th Gate, The Mortuary. We have all these really big, awesome haunts that do 5,000-6,000 people every night, and are these big mega events. And now it's like we're finally getting the craft brewers of haunting.
Well, yeah, and they don't know the rules to play by them.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know,
they don't either know the rules, or they're intentionally bending or breaking them. You know, one or the other. But it's very interesting. If you think of haunting as an artistic expression, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is. It absolutely is. You know, I mean, you mentioned that in the artisanal haunts, you know, you've got all these different, you know, skilled artists filling in whatever role they need to for the haunt, you know, and being able to translate a theater into a haunt. It seems like a natural transition, but I've seen actors, you know, theater actors really, really struggle with haunt acting because we're not giving you a script. We're not telling you this is what you're going to say. We're saying you need to be able to read this audience and respond accordingly. And they're not used to that. They're used to playing at people, not with people. So
we need to tap into the improv actors, is what I'm hearing.
Improv comedy, improv actors.
No,
I agree.
Yeah, I think so. There's a we had a guy working for us for the past couple years at the Rob Zombie show who does stand up, you know, and I didn't know he did stand up when I first started placing him, and now in hindsight, I'm like, man, I could have put him in such a better spot where he could have just been talking with people all night. And we figured that out for the second year. But the first year, you know, he wanted to talk to everybody. I'm like, no, in this role, I don't need you to talk. I need you to kill the hooker. You know, that was it. So only
in this industry does that sentence make any sense.
Yeah. Well, you know,
we
had a Jack the Ripper. We had a Jack the Ripper character. So
there. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Here we throw out the hashtag shit haunters say, you know,
and that's on the list. We need you to kill the hooker.
Yeah.
Right. and it's the only place you're not going to go to jail for saying that. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, real fast, any plans during the off season?
You know, I hope so. You know, I'm gonna be we're gonna be helping out. I'm gonna be helping out with Windy City Haunters. Oh, there to get it is again, Windy City Haunters. But that's gonna be, you know, that's gonna be late February. So we'll be done with that. You know, pretty soon. So then I don't know. I'm not really sure what the next move is, to be totally honest. You know, gotta talk with my buddy Andy and figure out what we're gonna do and kind of make next steps. But I can tell you, I'm probably not going to be in a place yet where I'm comfortable with, you know, doing an entire haunt season. You know, my baby will only be about a year old at that point. So,
I understand. Yeah.
How was the first Halloween? I saw pictures of her at the haunted house.
So she has been through three haunted houses now. I brought her out to a haunted hayride out in Lockport, and she had a great time. I'm nervous that she may have stolen the show, because I felt like a lot of people on the hayride just kept staring at her. You know, and I kept like trying to explain to people, I'm like, don't worry, she's my daughter, it's gonna be cool. And I thought they did a really good job. They've got a really talented woman in charge of that show, and my wife was really nervous about bringing her there. But you know, I was like, trust me, I know the woman who runs this place. She knows how to run a good family friendly haunt, and nobody felt like they needed to menace the baby or anything like that.
Right. I'm gonna eat your baby.
Yeah, exactly. No, they didn't. They kept away from us, you know, for the most part. there was one actor who I had to set straight in line, just because he was just yelling. He was just walking up behind people and screaming. And I said, I just stopped them. And I was like, don't do it again. Just go. And then I talked, you know, I'm the one that always goes to the haunt owner and says, hey, just so you know, this is what they're doing. But for the most part, they did a really good job. She had a lot of fun. And then we went to a pumpkin patch that had like a little walkthrough haunt. So we did that. And, what was the third one? Oh, there was a third one and I can't even think of what it was now. And then I did my yard haunt. So I've got pictures of her, you know, dressed like a baby Brewster and, sitting in our graveyard in the front yard. So, you know, it was exciting. That's a fun thing to be able to share with your child, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad it went so well. All right. Over the course of the haunt season, because we actually recorded the last episode with you before the news episode, not everything got recorded in the same order it aired, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we had a whole bunch of stories, and basically what I did is I took note of every time Crystal and I said to each other, we should ask Japes about this.
Yeah.
And now we're going to ask James about these things.
See, we were just, you know, on hiatus from that.
Yeah, we need to ask James about these things. So rapid fire. We got about 20-ish minutes here, 20, 25 minutes.
We can do this. We can do this.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, first thing, the big story everyone was talking about this year, Knott's Berry Farm. They shut down the Fear VR track. And I love your comment in our show notes here. Basically, she typed, ugh, this one. Yeah. I like to imagine that with Charlie Brown. The Charlie Brown comic beside it. Basically what happened is it attracted attention of advocates for people with mental illness. And long story short, that led to a protest and they decided to close it down. And that led to a huge debate and discussion in the haunt industry. And we said, we need to ask Jakes about this.
Okay. So here we go.
I'm teeing off, boys.
how can I be biased? How can I not like a haunt that's themed after an asylum when one of my favorite haunts that I ever worked with or worked for was the Asylum Experiment. I have a lot of mixed feelings about this.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest mistakes that they made was calling it Fear 5150 or whatever the code was.
The police code, yeah. Yeah.
And that to me kind of brought it too much into reality. And I think I feel like you know, asylums were not good places historically in the United States. They still aren't very good.
They still are.
Well, no, they're not. In anywhere in the world, really. You know, it's well, not
especially in the United States, though, especially here. Our nation's history with it is especially complex and complicated and horrible.
Yeah, and mental illness is not something that we do very well. You know, people in general, and again, like you said, Crystal, it's not just in the United States; it's all across the world. I think about places like, you know, these old asylums, and think like that is so full of material that is scary because they were scary places. And I feel like, you know, I don't want to vilify people with mental illness. I don't. Right. That is not my intent. And I know I had an experience quite a few years ago now where I used to do exercises where we would practice being crazy, quote unquote. Uh-huh. And I would go through different types of crazy, and that was what we would do. And, you know, one of them was manic depressive. And the idea there is that you want to have high energy and then low energy and high energy and low energy and go back and forth. Well, you know, after the training, this girl came up to me and said, you know, I really didn't like that because I suffer from manic depression. And it was a little light bulb in my head where I was like, you got to be more sensitive about that, man. Like, you got to think about that. You don't want to be like, all right, I need you to go out there and act crazy, just like this girl here, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I have since changed that to highs and lows, you know, that's what I call it, because that's really the point is the energy, not being manic depressive, but having that energy. But at the same time, I don't want my homicidal maniac to not be playing like a sociopath or, you know,
homicidal, the chainsaw guy comes out, good day, sir. I am here to chop at you up.
They're supposed
okay,
to
be. Okay. So that would be kind of scary.
That would actually be kind of scary. I'm totally going to do this now.
And I know, Dusty Morton, posted a really good, some very good insights on it. And I also know Dusty and I, we go back a long way. And, you know, I know that she is very much a traditional haunted house person. Like, she likes vampires and zombies and werewolves and things like that, you know? Whereas I have dwelled more in reality, where I'm spouting off crazy things that are very tied to reality. And the interesting thing is, I was thinking about it this season, and with the current climate in the United States, I feel like I'm going to have to figure out a way to dial it down, because when I'm coming up with all these crazy conspiracy theories and talking about how the media controls you and, you know, and how you're being manipulated by the people in power, those are the type of things I would say. But now, this is like our reality. that's what's being talked about. And I feel like if I'm doing that in a haunt, it's going to make it not a fun experience, because that's why people come to a haunt, to get away from that. They don't want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We've run into a little bit of this ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we base all of our stories and plot. New Orleans history is like super rich gold mine.
Oh, yeah.
For haunted attraction themes and stories. So every year we try to do a new theme based loosely upon New Orleans history, but it's never factual. It's always, there's like a jumping off point, and then we're just totally running with it.
Right. But it's also not in the realm of fantasy.
Yeah, not entirely, at least. And I understand. Like, one of the rules we have is we will never do a Katrina story.
Yeah,
because that's just too recent, too painful, too hurtful. It's not helpful, not healthy. So we actually try to make sure everything we cover is at least 70 years old. And that seems to be a good turning point, because if there are any 80-year-olds going through the haunt, they probably should be heeding the sign about heart issues and all that.
Well, there was that one guy. So yeah, not this year, but last year, there was an older gentleman who helped me out of the haunted house because he thought I was really trapped and scared.
I forgot about that.
So I just played along and let him get me up out of the coffin and take me outside.
You see, there's still gentlemen around you.
That's and nice there are. Know.
Chivalry is not dead.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, and I guess that's my feeling too, is we have to find a way to balance being respectful and, you know, maintain the art and maintain, you know, what the craft.
Yeah.
I know there was one night at Dream Reapers many years ago that I was doing an act that was based on people that I knew, and I felt kind of weird about doing it because I didn't want to exploit that. But at the same time, I knew that it was extremely off-putting. So I kind of did it, but I never did it again after that because it didn't sit quite right with me.
Yeah.
Because it was based on real people that I know.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to portray that as this is something you should be afraid of when it really isn't, you know? But again, I do think that you should be afraid of homicidal maniacs. You should be afraid of sociopaths. And it's not like that. The other thing is, if you are playing your crazy character and sitting there and saying, "I'm manic depressive," you're already doing it wrong, right? Like,
right. Yeah. Well, and the other thing is that a lot of times asylum theme haunts, there are people who are portraying different mental illnesses, and playing the crazy, quote unquote, crazy person. But usually the villains in those rooms are the doctors and nurses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who are doing the experiments on them, who are torturing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which kind of is historically accurate.
I mean, that's the thing, is it's kind of like an evil caricature of the situation, I think.
Yeah.
You know? Right.
But as far as like going back, I guess kind of looking at, you know, Knott's Berry Farm making the decision to close it, I think I look at it and I say, it's Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah.
They're a family attraction.
Yeah, that's one of the... Yeah.
They know who their audience is. They're not looking for...
Controversy.
Kind of controversy.
So, they're not the House of Shock. They're not...
Exactly. If House of Shock was to back down from that, I would be disappointed. Because that's not who they are. You know? But Knott's Berry Farm... That's not what they do. They're a family haunt. You know, they're trying to do a family friendly attraction. And so rather than deal with the controversy, fine, we'll get rid of it. That's fine. It's gone. You know, and then it went away. The problem went away. They got rid of it. And, you know, I'm sure they probably put in some other VR attraction, or they had to have done something to replace it. Cause that's an upcharge, you know, that's an upcharge that they're not going to get rid of. So yeah, I mean, I think they made the right decision for their attraction, but I would be disappointed if a place that wants to be edgy, wants to be more controversial, if they were to back down from that, I'd be more disappointed.
Agreed. Yeah. All right, so item two on our list. Now we have about 15 minutes. This is why talking with Jace is so much fun, because we can talk about anything for hours.
You know what? That last one I knew was going to be the longest. These other ones, we'll see.
We'll see. Okay. Okay. In a small town, North Carolina, a haunt visitor, not a haunt patron, he was just visiting, was hit by an SUV after being scared into the road by the chainsaw guy. Now, this is small town, North Carolina, so of course the chainsaw guy knew the kid. And long and short of it is he ran apparently for like a quarter of a mile was one estimate I saw. Like, not a short distance. Like that, I'm surprised he wasn't more winded. I'm surprised he made it.
I mean, good for him for being in shape, you know?
Yeah, that's hell. Well, he was.
Well,
I mean, now he's been hit by that.
Right.
it's not a funny laughing matter.
No, it's not. It's not. But at the same time, so immediately when I heard about this one, I thought, I should ask Japes, so we're asking Japes.
So I guess my take on this is the thing that I feel good about in this story, and it's not a good story. You're right. Somebody getting hit by a car and being hospitalized is not a good thing. But the good thing about this is it's not a litigious, malicious situation.
Right.
You know, the actor wasn't being malicious, or really it based on what I read, what I was able to just, you know, to understand about it, it doesn't even seem like he was being irresponsible. It wasn't that he legitimately chased this person all the way into the road.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Yeah.
And in fact, he was chasing after him at the end to stop him, as by most accounts.
Yeah.
Right. And
breaking character.
Right. And I don't understand the relationship between the two people. It seems like it said they were friends.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of this story and the next story both have a common theme for me, and that is having some discretion and knowing when to attack and when not to attack. And based on this one, it seems like the actor was doing everything right. If that customer was so scared that they couldn't pay, you know, that they couldn't focus, then I guess my concern is that you can take that mask off, but when people are in that zone, they can't even hear that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've seen actors try to break character and say it's okay and help somebody up because they're on the floor.
Oh yeah, been there.
Right, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you're still that creature with the monster or with the makeup hovering over them, and you're having to raise your voice because haunted houses are loud. So it's not like you're able to calmly say, "It's okay, I'm going to help you out of here." You still have to say, you know, you're still yelling.
It's okay, get out of
here. And you know, it's. It's the Simpsons, you know. Hey Bart, you want to see my chainsaw and hockey mask?
Yeah.
You know,
is there any ideas that you have on how the haunt could welcome the actor who did the scaring back in and make it not? I mean, he's already been traumatized by getting his friend. Well, hurt. He didn't get his friend hurt, but he was
being involved in an incident that resulted in his friend getting hurt.
Exactly. So how would you, do you have any ideas on how to approach that? So it's not a defining moment that keeps him out of haunting.
That's an excellent question. And that's a very, empathetic, thing to think about, to realize, you know, the effect that that's going to cause on the actor.
Right.
And I'm such a jerk that I didn't even think of it. But
sorry.
But no, for
a reason. All right.
That's great. No, I appreciate that. I think that's a great, you know, insight and a great viewpoint to think about. And I think that's, unfortunately, sometimes people get injured in haunts, and obviously this is a big injury. This wasn't I stepped on a nail. Oh, I twisted my ankle. This is a serious injury. But I think that it seems like the actor did the right things.
Yeah.
The customer, the visitor, didn't respond the right way. And, you know, maybe there's something that the haunt needs to look at as far as how close they are to the road. Although, like you said, it may have been up to a quarter of a mile that he ran. You know, and the other good, you know, and the other good thing is, you know, that there were a lot of first responders on hand. There were people that were able to take care of it right away. But as far as like, you know, helping him to come back in, I mean, really helping him to see that it wasn't his fault. You know, if it was his fault, if he did something wrong, then most likely there would be some sort of lawsuit right now. But there is no lawsuit. We weren't there, so we don't know exactly what happened. We only get, you know, the accounts that are provided by the news and by the haunted house themselves. And based on what it show or what I've read, it seems like he didn't do anything wrong. So no. I think it's a matter of kind of saying, hey, man, you didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes customers respond in bizarre ways.
Yeah.
And it's not your fault. I mean, I think that's about it, you know?
Yeah.
And also to I think it's important though, you know, to also not make light of the situation and be like, you know, bring him in and go, here's the kid that got the other person run over. And like,
right.
You know,
so yeah.
I think some people would try to hold that up almost as a badge.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I hope they wouldn't do that here, but
from the sound of this haunt, I don't think they would.
No.
Right. I mean, it's yeah, because it's like
they donated significant money to his recovery too. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. And it is it's a fundraising haunt anyway. It's a youth baseball, you know, it's a youth baseball fundraiser. So I mean, they're all kids, they're all young, you know, and unfortunately, things like this happen, you know, again, not necessarily to that degree, but obviously this is a big deal getting hit by a car, you know, and I think back to the Dream Reapers days and we were right off of Cornell, like the line went all the way down Cornell and then onto North Avenue. And, you know, there were definitely times where I was doing line entertainment and saw somebody chase somebody out and they're all of a sudden running right in the middle of Cornell, which is where everybody is driving to park. Oh. Some very, very close calls.
Gotcha.
I mean, there were definitely times where I was nervous for the safety of the customers, because
great.
You know, it got wild. It got wild, and we were right by a street, a busier street too. You know, so it's a tricky thing to manage for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, from one extreme to the other, a haunt named Asylum 49 in Utah actually was the subject of a police investigation after a customer said that she was treated exceedingly rough. The haunt says that they are a full contact haunt, which is a term I am not – well, I mean, I understand what it means, but it's not one I'd heard used in the industry before, like not in this capacity. And that that she agreed to it and knew it was coming. And, of course, the father responds saying she was a teenager. She can't sign a legally binding waiver. So, yeah, and there's no update on the police investigation for the record. I searched high and low. I could not find anything.
And I did as well, and I couldn't find anything either. I was planning, I may follow up on it and just try and reach out to the haunt and kind of get an idea. But, you know, I feel like anytime you do a touch haunt, you're asking for trouble. And one of the things that was really striking and really made me pretty nervous was when I looked on their Facebook page and I looked on their website and I looked at some news things that they've done or those news articles and whatever, looking at the actors, it looked like the majority of the actors were also under 18. And I think it's a very irresponsible decision to allow minors, people who are under 18 years old, to run a full contact haunt. Managing actors is a risky business anyway, because you never know what people are going to say and do.
Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding.
Right? But exactly.
Yeah, no. We actually had an incident this year, too. I mean,
yeah.
With a customer.
Yeah, being inappropriate with some of our younger actors.
Yeah.
And that's right. And that's kind of like, I've really enjoyed the past couple years working with only 18 and above, you know, when the Rob Zombie show, we were all 18 and above. And it was, and not to say that, you know, there's not adults that act like idiots in a haunted house, cause they're definitely, but it's a little bit easier, I think, to manage than with younger people, with teenagers. And so that made me really nervous just looking at that. You know, then the other piece is, you know, the to be fair to the haunt, it does say everywhere, hey, You can be touched, grabbed, and separated from your group. You can be detained in small dark areas and left, and you can be strapped to a metal bed and worked on by the crazies. That was Grammar Man coming out for you. They did misspell strapped on their website.
Okay, I was wondering.
I was wondering what the hell strapped was. Like, you had me confused.
Is this a weird pronunciation that I just don't get because I'm from the South? It's
Chicago. That's how we say it. No. There's a spelling mistake on their website. And
gotcha.
I had to point it out because I'm a jerk. But but yeah, so it does say that, and it's posted there at the haunt. It's very clear that that release form that you sign at any haunted house, that's all BS. Like, yes. There's no, you can't. And I think you've mentioned that in episodes before, Jonathan, that you can't sign a piece of paper that now says, no matter what happens to you, it's too bad.
Yeah. Right. You can't consent to be assaulted. Basically. There's no way. Right. It's possible.
Exactly. And so, I mean, we know that piece of paper is garbage. The fact that it's people under 18 years old signing it, we know that's garbage.
Yeah.
So I think the haunt was doing a lot of things that they shouldn't. However, they do seem to have, supposedly they have film of it. You know, they had the cameras. I know there was another story that we talked about a couple months ago.
Minneapolis, I think it was, yeah.
Where they didn't have the cameras, you know,
which is like, oh my God,
which right there, like, okay, just shut down. Cause that's wrong. But these guys, you know, they had the cameras and they can prove what happened. The one other question I have for this one and where I was talking about that discretion in the last story, I think it comes in here too, that here's this girl who said she got in there and she was really, really scared, and she was crying. She was already terrified, beyond terrified. Mm-hmm. And this actor crowded her space. She claims that the actor pushed her, and that may very well have happened. It may also have been that he tapped her, because when you're in that mindset, when you're in that state where you're so afraid – that just any contact is going to be magnified. You know, it could have been that she lost her balance and fell, but it could have been that she was pushed against a wall too. And you know, the good thing for the haunt is they have the video to look at it and figure out what happened. But certainly when a customer is already that scared, just back off.
Yeah.
Back off.
There comes a point where someone is so scared they are a safety hazard to themselves and to the actors.
Yeah,
right.
And
they're not having fun.
That point. No,
they're not having fun. So trying to continue to scare them, they're already as scared as they can get. You know, that's the thing is, you know, there's, I guess there's a couple levels of scared.
Yeah.
Most is, you know, you got the anxiety and that fear of being there and the nervousness, you know, but when you actually get afraid, when you're actually afraid to the point where you're screaming and crying, it is no longer fun. It's not fun.
No.
And pushing that hard and over scaring somebody is number one, the sign of a weak actor. And number two, the sign of bad training because You want that person to come back next year.
Yeah.
You want them to have fun. And if you're doing that to her, she ain't coming back next year.
I think some actors do forget that the goal is not to get the most gear. It's to get the most fun out of customers. And there's a big difference between those two things.
Mm-hmm. And I think that goes there. You know, there's a tremendous amount of power that comes from working in a haunted house. And I think typically the people that are attracted to working in haunts are people who haven't had a lot of power. And so it feels really good to scare the hell out of that jock that used to pick on you in high school. You know, you get that revenge and you get that power over those people who used to pick on you. And that's where you lose control. And I think that's why it's even harder, like I said, to work with teenagers because they're still in that. You know, they're still in that. I am the outcast at my school. I'm the weird kid that walks down the hall and gets called names and gets picked on. Now you're going to be going to get my on that. And
Hey, did we lose you?
A good time.
Okay. Okay, final one. And this one I know won't take long. I had to share this one with you in case you missed it, basically.
I did not see this. This was my first introduction.
There were a lot of proposals at Haunted Attractions. We actually had one at the mortuary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, one of our friends who works there, her boyfriend came through as a customer. Well, now fiance.
Well, yeah, now fiance. Yeah, get it right, Crystal.
Came through as a customer and proposed to her during the show.
Which is pretty cool. But yeah, but this one went a little awry. Basically, an actor attempted to have it as his girlfriend, now fiance, was going through the haunt, had some of his colleagues pull her aside, bring her onto a stage so he could propose, but then she got scared by zombies, ran, fell off the stage, and still said yes. I might blame the concussion, personally.
So, yeah, it's funny because I read the article several times, and for some reason now it's just clicking with me that it was that, you know, they are saying that it was an actor. The thing about it to me, it just felt like a whole publicity stunt to me. You know, like, why are they bringing a camera crew from the local news with these two people, you know, like,
right.
And I know that that was at a 13th floor haunt. 13th floor is really, really good at media. Really good. They are very, very, very smart business people, and they know how to promote their haunts. And that's a fun, you know, Halloween themed, public relations story, or what is it? You know, a fluff piece that can go on and be cute, and they get a little bit of press out of it, you know? You know, it's a cute little promotion, I guess. You know, it's a cute.
Yeah, I had not thought of the press piece angle on it, but then again, it does make sense. But still, it's.
Well, and the other thing is, like we said, we heard about this right after it happened to one of our friends, mm-hmm. and we know that one wasn't publicized
no media attention
to promote
on that one.
The haunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one knew that one was coming. Right. By all accounts, that was a complete and utter surprise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and
back on the farm.
And that's the thing, is the whole article, or what do you call it, whatever, the whole segment, rather.
Yeah.
It was all very scripted. It was like, you see those people over there? He's about to propose to her. You know, like, they knew what was going on. And, I mean, maybe they happened to be at the haunt to film that night. Maybe they were going to be out there just doing a walkthrough. And then this guy came over and said, hey, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. Maybe that happened. I'm pretty skeptical of it. I feel like...
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I mean... but I mean, regardless, it was cute, you know, and I think you have to kind of consider who your girlfriend is. Like, I wouldn't do that with my wife. Doesn't like haunted houses. I wouldn't bring her to a haunted house to do that, because she would also be too terrified.
And and also, yeah, don't put your customers on stages with drop offs that aren't clearly demarked. be thinking of safety too. Okay. Right. Well, I think that's all we got right now. You got anything else you want to add?
No, I mean, it's great to be talking with you guys.
It is. We missed time. You. But
the season was crazy for all of us. I'm actually still not caught up on all your podcasts.
Don't blame me, dude.
I'm too obsessed with listening to the news every day now. I can't stop.
That might be a bad habit, man. You might want to cut back on that.
Oh, it's horrible. I hate everything all the time.
Yes.
You're going to become a curmudgeonly old man way too soon if you keep that habit up.
Too late.
All right. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you, Japes, for spending the hour with us and enlightening us. We really appreciate it. It was great to hang out with you again, and we'll have to have you back sooner. We can't do this whole, like, you know, 2 months or 3 months. Has it been too long? Too long's the answer. Too far, too long. We can't do that again. We will not let that happen. But on that note, everyone, thank you very much for joining us. And I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is
Haunted Japes.
Oh, yes. This is Japes. Yes, Japes. Sorry, I'm out of rhythm. And this is episode 59 of Haunted Weekly, touching base with Japes. I'll have to work on the title later, but thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week.